Blessed be our God. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And now if you turn to the front of your hymnal, to the S or service section, we will sing S247. Be with you. Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us. And because we are sorely hindered by our sins, let your bountiful grace and mercy speedily help and deliver us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. To whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from Joshua. Then Joshua, son of Nun, sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, Go, view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute, whose name was Rahab, and spent the night there. The king of Jericho was told, "Some Israelites have come here tonight to search out the land." Then the king of Jericho sent orders to Rahab, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come only to search out the whole land." But the woman took the two men and hid them. Then she said, "True, the men came to me, but I did not know where they came from." And when it was time to close the gate at dark, the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you can overtake them. She had, however, brought them up on the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax that she had laid out on the roof. So the men pursued them on the way to the Jordan as far as the fords. As soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before they went to sleep, she came up to them on the roof and said to them, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the dread of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt in fear before you. For we have heard of how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites, that they be on the Jordan, to Shihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. As soon as we heard it, our hearts failed, and there was no courage left in any of us because of you. The Lord your God is indeed the God of heaven above and the earth below. Now then, since I have dealt kindly with you, swear to me by the Lord that you in turn will deal kindly with my family. Give me a sign of good faith that you will spare my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death." The men said to her, "Our life for yours. If you do not tell this business of ours, then we will deal kindly and faithfully with you when the Lord gives us the land." The word of the Lord.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offenses at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. April 14th, 1912. At 11 o'clock at night, the RMS Titanic hit an enormous iceberg in the Atlantic Ocean. By 2 o'clock in the morning on April 15th, the entire ship had sunk to the bottom of the ocean, where it remains to this day. Archaeologists and explorers have wanted to get down there for decades to see the remnants of that ship. And in 1996, George Tulloch finally acquired the deep sea equipment and the money and the manpower necessary to get down there and begin to excavate. He went down in his submarine with a beam of light in the darkness, looking for the ship. And not only did they find the wreckage, but they were able to salvage incredible things. And best of all, George Tulloch discovered that the hull of the ship was still in one piece and had been separated from the rest. And he began to make plans to lift the entire hull up to the surface of the ocean. The hull of the Titanic weighs 20 tons and is made of iron. They succeeded in hauling this enormous piece of wreckage up to the very surface where they were just breaking. When an enormous storm came, some of the ropes were broken and the hull sank once more to the very bottom of the ocean. George Tulloch had neither the resources nor the power to go right back and try to pull that hull up again. And so he did something very strange. He got a large piece of metal and he took his submarine down there to the darkness at the bottom of the ocean, and he attached that piece of metal to the hull of the Titanic. And on it, he had written a message. On that piece of metal, it read, "I will return, George Tulloch. I will return, George Tulloch." According to the history of Christian salvation, you and I fell from God's grace. We fell from paradise down into the darkness and murkiness of this world that is full of sin and darkness. And God sent Jesus down to us to show us God's love, but also in baptism, Jesus marks you. Do you remember how when we baptize, I will take this holy oil and I make the sign of the cross on the forehead of the baptized, and I say you are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism, marked as Christ's own forever. And Jesus has written on each of your foreheads, "I will come back for you. I have marked you as my own, and I will return. I will come back to lift you up into my presence." And all that we need to do is we need to wait in this murky world where there is both goodness and badness, light and darkness, evil and redemption. But unlike that ship, we are living beings and we have free will. So the scripture tells us that not only is Jesus going to come again to bring us to God, but that we have to do something too. It is imperative that when Christ comes again, that we recognize him And that when we see him, we don't run and hide, or turn our heads away, or say no. But that when he reaches out his hand to us, we take it. And we say, yes, I want to come with you to the surface of all things. Yes, I want to be with you, God. I want to be saved from all of this. You and I were marked as Christ's own forever, and we are a people who wait for him to come again. And we've been waiting a long time, haven't we? 2,000 years, which to a human being seems like eternity, but to God, I'm sure, is nothing but the blink of an eye. And how is it that we, the waiting people, are going to be able to recognize Christ? How will we know when he comes again? You see, our salvation is directly related to our awareness. Because if you're asleep and Jesus comes and you miss it, what a horrible shame that would be if we were so wrapped up in our own selves that we missed the coming of Christ. So how can we look for him? How will we know when he comes again? We're making our way through the Old Testament, and we've reached the book of Joshua, where we hear about a woman who was awake. She's a fascinating character. Complicated. She lies. Her name is Rahab. And Rahab lived in the city of Jericho, and she was a prostitute. And the scripture tells us nothing about her background, not how she ended up in this horrible predicament. She owned a house, we know. She has a family, but she sells her body to survive. Did her husband just die? Was she single, but her parents became so old and decrepit that she had to do this to take care of them? Did she have a child out of wedlock? We have no idea how Rahab ended up in her predicament, but we do know that despite all the hardships of her life and how horrible it must have been, she was aware of her surroundings. Out of all the people in the city of Jericho, it was Rahab alone who noticed and listened to the current events going on around her. She listened and heard about the Hebrew people who had survived in the desert for 40 years and who were coming to take over their land. And Rahab looked around her, and she noticed that the people of her city were in no way capable of defending themselves. They were not strong enough, they were not wise enough, and she knew that when the Hebrew people came, that they would win. And so when Hebrew spies come into the city of Jericho, Rahab hides them in her house and keeps them safe. And she says to them, I see you. I recognize who you are. I see how strong you are. I see that God is on your side. and I'm keeping you safe. And in turn, I want you to keep me safe. I am at peace with you, so you be at peace with me. And when the Hebrew people come in and overrun the city of Jericho, it is Rahab and her family alone who survive. Not because she was a better person, but because she was awake. And there really is no one that we know of in human history more awake than John the Baptizer. Jesus says, of those born of women, there is no one greater than John. John was aware of what was going on around him. He was watching and he was waiting. And yet John was, well, he was weird, wasn't he? He was bizarre. He was homeless and he wore animal skins and he ate bugs. But this week I was thinking about it, and you know, some of our greatest geniuses who were awake too were also really weird. Like Einstein, who they think now might have had a bit of autism because he didn't speak till he was 4. Mozart, Beethoven, Van Gogh, who even saw things, but when he painted, oh, he gave us pictures of the world that were so remarkable, that helped us to see more clearly. So John was weird, but he was awake. And every day when people came to be baptized by him, he would ask himself in his mind, is this the one? Or is this the one? And so when Jesus came, he recognized the Son of God. John was awake, but you know what else I find reassuring? John was not certain, though. John didn't have all the answers. John gets insecure. When he goes to prison, even though he's already recognized Jesus as the Christ, he begins to wonder, did I make a mistake? Did I mess up? He has to send messengers to Jesus saying, are you really the one? Or am I supposed to wait for somebody else? Is this it? Are you he? Am I supposed to follow you? John didn't have all the answers, but John was asking the questions. He was looking, actively looking, always for what God was doing in the world. If you're like me, sometimes you don't want to turn on the news at night. Or I find myself just too busy to read the paper. But I had a bishop who told me, as a priest, you need 3 things. You need your prayer book, you need your Bible, and you need the newspaper. Because we have to be awake and aware of what's going on in the world around us if we're to recognize Christ. We cannot get so wrapped up in our comfortable little worlds or in our busy schedules that we're not watching everything that is going on around us. And it's hard to see it, isn't it? It takes so much courage. Sometimes I just want to shut off the pain of the people who are suffering in the Middle East, of the violence that never seems to end, of children who are hungry. Sometimes I just want to shut it off. But we can't do that. Not if we're to stay awake. I think of George Tulloch down there at the bottom of the ocean with his submarine, shining light into the darkness, looking to find what he was looking for. And I ask you too in this season of Advent, shine your light into the darkness and look at what God is doing every day. Ask yourself, God, what are you trying to tell me today? What are you saying? What is happening? And you will not have all the answers. I do not have all the answers, but we can ask the questions. And we can continue to search and search and look and look. Are you the one who is to come? John the Baptist asked. Or am I to keep on waiting? Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
With all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, come among us. For all who are ill, suffering, lonely, or in distress, I invite you to speak their names aloud.
David, Jackie, Nancy, Susan.
Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us.
For the welfare of the world, for peace among nations, wisdom for our leaders, and an end to all hunger and suffering, Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us.
For the church throughout the world, especially for the Church of Nigeria, and this congregation here gathered, that we may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments, Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us.
For those who have died, that they may be welcomed into your light and presence, I invite you to speak their names aloud.
Don, Ed, Dale.
We remember especially Joyce Jones. Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us.
For all who have come to worship you here today, that we may have the strength to reserve time for you during this Advent season. Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us.
We give thanks for the coming of our Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. Let us also offer our thanks for all our many blessings. I invite you to name your blessings aloud.
My family.
Lord, we wait for you.
Lord, come among us. Father in heaven, help us to have the courage to look beyond ourselves and out into the world and to seek you. This we pray in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Please be seated. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to St. John's Cathedral. We're so glad you're here today. If you're new or visiting and you raise your hand, the ushers will bring you a gift. But you have to keep your hand up so they can find you. Don't be shy. We know we have some visitors here today. Yay! Thank you over there. Keep your hand up, though, so they can find you because they have to see you. There they are, Gregory. We have a lot of gifts that have been given for children whose fathers are incarcerated or who are homeless. Many of these gifts are in Tolliver Hall, and if some of you who are able are willing to go get them, I would like to bring them all up and put them at the altar at our offertory, okay, ushers? So as many of you as can to go get those gifts in Tolliver Hall and bring them in, that would be wonderful. Thank you, all of you who can. I want to point you to all of the wonderful things that are going on in Advent and Christmas here at the cathedral. There is a lot happening, so please look at your bulletins to see. There is a blood drive going on today, so if you're able to give blood, please consider doing that after the service. Also, after the service, I am going to go straight into Tolliver Hall to sign copies of my new book. So if you'd like a signed copy of my book, I'll be in there and I'm going to read a little bit from it, a book signing. A couple of special events this Wednesday is called Los Posadas, which is a Mexican festival where you follow luminaries and knock on doors and they say there's no room at the inn. And then you knock on another door and there's their room there, and finally you get to Tolliver Hall and eat Mexican food. It's really fun. And on Friday, talk about looking for Christ. On Friday we have a unique offering at the cathedral, which is the L'Arche community, which is a worldwide community of developmentally disabled people, Down syndrome and other disabilities. They are going to be doing a living nativity. And I've seen this before, and there's something about their poverty and their beauty doing the story of Christ that makes me weep. So come, bring your tissues. Friday night, beautiful icon. Also, another nativity next weekend, we're going to have our annual Christmas pageant. So all children are welcome to be part of that. There's information in your bulletin. Rehearsal is on Saturday morning, performance Sunday at 10 o'clock in Tolliver Hall. All children ages 3 and under are cast as sheep, so when they wander, it's in character. And it's very beautiful. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."
Thank you.
How wonderful the work of your hands, O Lord. As a mother tenderly gathers her children, you embraced a people as your own. When they turned away and rebelled, your love remained steadfast. From them you raised up Jesus, our Savior, born of Mary, to be the living bread in whom all our hungers are satisfied. He offered his life for sinners, and with a love stronger than death, he opened wide his arms on the cross. On the night before he died, he came to supper with his friends, and taking bread, he gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Father, we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. We remember his dying and rising in glory, and we rejoice that he intercedes for us at your right hand. Pour out your Holy Spirit as we bring before you these gifts of your creation. May they be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy things in your presence, form us into the likeness of Christ and build us into a living temple to your glory. Remember, Lord, your church in every land. Reveal her unity, guard her faith, and preserve her in peace. Bring us at the last with John the Baptist and all the saints to the vision of that eternal splendor for which you have created us through Jesus Christ our Lord. By him, with him, and in him, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Thank you. And now please join me in sending forth our lay Eucharistic visitor who will bring communion to those who cannot come to church. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Never stop looking for Christ. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always. Amen.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ.